Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Father, we thank you for this day, Good Friday. And it's good because of you, a good God, sending your Son in our place. And we thank you for all the goodness that we have received because of who you are. And we acknowledge you, we appreciate you. I ask today, as just for a few minutes we read and analyze the Bible, that it would live for each and every person here, and that we would become more like Christ in the process. Amen. I want to take just 15 or 20 minutes and look at the seven last words of Jesus. Not the literal seven last words. You know, when people die, they say it was someone's last words. Well, Jesus had seven lots of last words. If you read the gospel accounts, there were seven things he said when he was on the cross dying. And they're not all recorded in each individual gospel. Some gospels, like John, might have three or four out of the seven. Mark, I think, has like one out of the seven. You can take some time to like look at all of that. But in total, between the four gospels, there are seven things that Jesus said while he was dying on the cross. And these are referred to as the seven last words of Jesus, or the seven words of Jesus. And it's interesting that when people die, or let's say when people know they're going to die, it's interesting to see what it is that they said just before they died. And you can do some Googling, and I did, just for curiosity, at famous people's last words. And some people said interesting things before they died, but they didn't know they were going to die. Like JFK, the president, didn't realize he was going to be shot, and he said something like, "Please hand me the glasses, Jackie," or something like that. That's his like last words. But when people know they're going to die, they often say more meaningful things. And so, for example, if you look up what people in the Twin Towers at September 11 were saying, you know, they knew that they wouldn't survive, and a lot of those people were making phone calls to their loved ones and saying goodbye and telling them they love them, things like that, meaningful things. And so in the moments of death, when a person realizes that their life is over, what they say tends to be much more significant, and they're not so much worried about things like how much money is in their superannuation, or, you know, what colour their room's going to be decorated, or like the things that we tend to worry about in the day-to-day life are not at all important when a person realises that they're going to die. So we look at Jesus and the seven things that he said, and we're going to get a real glimpse into what was important to him. Now, because Jesus was different to us in the sense that he always was aware of what things were important all along, whereas we tend to not live in that sense all the time. So you can analyse everything Jesus said through the course of his life to find meaningful things. It's just that we know that we get more meaningful when we know we're about to die. So it just brings the things that Jesus said alive a little bit more. So we're going to start with Luke chapter 23, verse 34. As Jesus was nailed to the cross, he said, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." How many of us, as we're being executed, would be thinking of forgiving the executioners? It's not the first thing that comes to mind, is it? And you can see if you were to get every single transcript of the people from September 11, of the things they said, not one of those thousands of people that died said anything about forgiving those people that had done that. It's not what enters the human brain in that type of situation. But in Jesus' case, he was thinking of not just his executioners, but all people. And so it shows us that we know it's not normal, it's not natural to human beings to forgive. We know that we need to do it because Jesus taught us, but it shows us that this was something on the heart of God even at the moment when he was being killed. But it shows us something else. Jesus wasn't just forgiving the people who were killing him. He was forgiving all of us because it's our sins that put Jesus on the cross. So he was speaking of us at that time. In other words, he was showing us that he forgives us and he loves us. Do you see that there? Jesus is proclaiming his forgiveness and love for us. And it shows us that we also should be forgiving and loving to other people. The second thing that Jesus said on the cross is in the same chapter, in verse 43. Jesus spoke to one of the thieves that was being crucified next to him. There were two thieves. One was rude to Jesus and said, "If you're really who you claim to be, get us down." He wanted to be saved, didn't he? The other thief also wanted to live, but approached the whole thing in a quite different way. And Jesus said, verse 43, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." That's a very, very interesting thing for Jesus to say on the cross. He's once again thinking of others, not thinking of himself. Most people who are being executed are thinking of themselves. He's once again thinking of others and he's offering mercy. We saw a minute ago how Jesus shows us his love and forgiveness. Now he's offering mercy. Each one of us has a choice. We can be like one of the thieves or like the other of the thieves. We all want to live. But it's through Jesus Christ that we will live. And it's through our approach to Jesus that we will either be offered mercy and receive it, or we will not be offered mercy. John, the third of the sayings is found in John chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus is talking to his mum, and he says, we'll read the whole verse. "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, his disciple took her into his home." Jesus, once again, thinking of others, and looks at his mother and provides for her and for her future. If you've read your scripture and you remember reading in Matthew chapter 12, 48, Jesus is told by someone in the crowd, he said, "Your mother and your brothers are here to see you." And Jesus says, "Who is my mother? Who is my brothers? It is those who do the will of the Lord. It is those who follow him." According to Jesus' own testimony, if we are his followers and his disciples, then we are his family. We are his mother and we are his brothers. And Jesus on the cross makes provision for his family. He makes provision for his mother and arranges for her to be cared for by the Apostle John. If we are followers of Jesus, he makes provision for us in the cross. Isn't it wonderful? Everything that Jesus says is thinking of others, and it's a provision for us. Let's go to the fourth thing that Jesus said in Mark chapter 15, verse 34. "At 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" It's an interesting thing to say. This is a quote from Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. If you read Psalm chapter 22, it's a parallel to the crucifixion. And it starts out by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it goes on to describe, if you read it, it describes something very similar to a person being crucified. It talks about the way that they were killed and the feelings, what it felt like. The question I have here is, what was Jesus experiencing as he took the weight of the world's sin upon his shoulders? What he was experiencing was separation from God. We all know that sin separates us from God. And Jesus was saying, God, why have you forsaken me? He was experiencing the feeling of being separated from God. You and I have never ever experienced the feeling of being completely free of sin. And I wonder if Jesus, in experiencing sin, felt that separation from God, what will it be like for us when we experience the complete absence of sin? Because of the work of Jesus Christ, we have our sins forgiven. But one day we will experience the complete absence of sin. What will it be like to know our Father in heaven? I think that's when we'll start to truly appreciate what Jesus did when he went to the cross in being separated from his Father. Let's go to number 5, John chapter 19, verse 28. This is also a quote from the Old Testament. It's from Psalms 69, verse 21. Jesus said in John 19, 28, he said, I am thirsty. Possibly one of the biggest understatements in all of Jesus's ministry and life. He was probably very, very thirsty after having been through everything he went through, dragging the cross up the hill and being crucified. I imagine he was quite thirsty. And what they offered him was wine vinegar. They didn't give him a decent thing to drink at all. And in Psalm 69:21, it says, they offer me wine for my thirst. Crucifixion comes from two Latin words, cruce, which means cross, and fixio, which means to fix. So in other words, crucifixion means to fix someone to a cross. None of us have been crucified. None of us want to be crucified. It's painful, miserable. There's nothing fun about it at all. But when Jesus did this, and in the process became thirsty and experienced all those other pain, he provided for us living water so we will never thirst again. Number 6, John chapter 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What is finished? What was he saying was finished? Was he saying, thank God it's over? No, what he was saying is, I have done what I came to do. What we would have meant was, thank God it's finished. But he was saying, thank God I've completed the task that you've given me to do. And that is the reason why it's called Good Friday, because God came and completed the task and showed us his goodness in doing so. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ that is the good thing that we refer to. And the final of the 7 words of Jesus in dying on the cross is in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Lost my bookmark, just finding it again. Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. This is also a quote from the Psalms, Psalm chapter 31. It's amazing, a number of the things that Jesus said on the cross are actually quotations from the book of Psalms. In Psalm chapter 31, verse 5, it says, into your hands I commit my spirit. I know that you will rescue me. And Jesus is saying here that he's trusting his life into the hands of God, and he knows that God is going to raise him up again. We know that he did. We know that God did raise him up again. With that scripture, I'd like to close with this thought. Have you committed your life into the hands of God? We see what Jesus did for us on the cross. We see that he offers forgiveness and love and mercy. We see that we can receive that mercy through approaching him the way that one of the two thieves approached him, through humility and through asking and through faith. Jesus makes provision for his family and he considers others and he provides paradise, eternal life for those who believe. He came to do a work that was perfect, the finished work of God, and he offers us eternal water so that we will never thirst. What he asks of us is that we commit our life into his hands. And Jesus shows us the example. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How many of you have committed your life into the hands of God? Or how many of you, having done that in the past, have kind of taken your life back again, thinking of this world's concerns, the money problems that you may be having, problems with your image and how you think other people perceive you, problems with your morals, your struggle to do what's right and wrong? How many of you with worldly concerns have taken back your trust in God and you're not trusting him with your life anymore, but you're managing it yourself again? I think it's time to follow the example of Jesus and say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, my life, who I am. I invite you right now to do that. We're going to pray. And I'm going to pray and thank the Lord for what he's done. I'm going to pray and commit our lives to him afresh. And I'm going to pray and ask him to make us like Jesus Christ, who even in the moment of his death was considering others and thinking of deeper, more meaningful things than what we often do. Join me in believing as I pray. Father, we thank you for what you have done in sending your Son. We thank you for the words of John 3:16, that you so loved this world and all that who live in it, including us, and that you made provision for us. Thank you that you have offered us eternal water, you've offered us eternal life, and you've offered us a place in paradise with you. We thank you for that. And we choose to receive and we choose to believe. Today, Father, on behalf of this whole congregation and in every life here, we choose to declare our commitment to you afresh. We ask, Heavenly Father, that the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ might be something that becomes meaningful to us all our days. And I pray that in return we would offer you a sacrifice of our own lives. And so, Father, we commit to you our lives, our spirit, who we are. We commit to you this congregation of believers, that we might all serve you together with a heart that's pure. And Father, I ask, do you make us more like Jesus? Let us be Christ-like. Let us be considering how we might love one another, how we might encourage one another, how we might serve you. Let us be like Jesus, I pray. And I ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you give us grace to do all of these things in Jesus' name. I encourage you on this Good Friday to take time to think about the sacrifice of Jesus in your own prayers later today, this evening, to consider what he has done for you and what he asks of you in return. God bless you.